Lagos, let's talk on today's Big Hard Fact. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Is it game on for the APC in Rivers State? It's the road to 2023 where we talk about the biggest stories already shaping next year's election. And there's lots of things happening on the campaign trail. You need the info so that you can vote wisely in February. And speaking of February, here's today's Big Hard Fact. It's exactly 67 days until the general elections on February 25th, 2023. And 1 week after that, we'll have governorship and state assembly elections in most states of the Federation, including Rivers State. And if last Thursday's appeal court ruling is the last word, the Rivers APC will have candidates on those ballots, including my guest today. He's the Rivers State APC governorship candidate, Tony Cole. Welcome back to Hard Facts.
Thank you, Sandra. Always good to be here.
Lagos, you can join the conversation by calling us on 0700-993-993-993-0146-57190. We're streaming this conversation live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. What questions do you have for Tony Cole? Go ahead and call and ask them. He's trying to be your governor if you're from Rivers State. What are his plans for Rivers people? If you have those questions, go ahead and call or send us a WhatsApp message, 080-959-75805. Tonya, first of all, congratulations are in order. The appeal court threw out the high court ruling stopping you from being on the ballot. What were the grounds for the new ruling?
So essentially, it went back to status quo. Take a look at exactly what the situation is. First and foremost, you have an internal mechanism for which you are meant to resolve things. That was never exhausted before going to court. And so that was thrown out in the first instance. The second aspect of it was that those who went to court never participated in the primaries and all of that. So again, that was thrown out. There were five different things that we put through, and the appeal court looked at all five of them and agreed with us that all five of them were tenable. We're back on the ballot.
Back on the ballot. Do you anticipate that the plaintiffs will go to the Supreme Court? Can they go to the Supreme Court?
They can, and it's best in politics. I think the last time I told you, everything ends up in the Supreme Court. So prepare your mind for that. But the beauty about the appeal court is that once the appeal court has gone your way, then you're 70%, 80% of the way, because they are very, very particular about the type of judgment they bring. And so with that in mind, I can say with a lot of confidence that the Supreme Court will go our way.
If it does get to the Supreme Court.
If it does get there.
Lagos, let's hear from you. What questions do you have for Tony Cole about his quest to occupy Brick House and his plans for Rivers people? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Now, before we dive into your plans, I want to talk about something that affected many people in Rivers State, the flood. Can you tell Lagos the extent which the flood has impacted the people of Rivers State?
It was very bad. And first and foremost, this is perennial, which means that every single year, people can never get out of a cycle of poverty. And so we must, as a government, begin to think beyond just the palliatives that come every single year. So this year's floods were particularly bad. Once in a while, you get that kind of thing, and it was particularly bad. I went there, I visited. But we came up with, it's something that I'd seen a couple of years ago, and I determined that there are solutions to this. There are solutions. You don't have to wait for the floods to just give palliatives. There are solutions. You can do diking, you can do channelization. There are areas where you can create an embankment to channel the water in a particular way. And so one of the things we did, and we're going to implement when we get in, is the channelization, embankment, and diking of the channels where the floods come through, so that you can move water away from these plains where people wake up every day going to farm and make their daily living. It's terrible. It was really bad.
All right. We've got people trying to call in and talk to you. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening.
What's your name, sir?
Yeah. My name is Donald. I'm calling in from Ikeja, Lagos.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. I am an unapologetic progressive, and I've always implored my friends, implored everyone who I've come across, to always vote for the APC across all states.
Mm.
I am in tune. I am in tandem. I am really happy with the growth and trajectory of the Buhari administration, and under the stewardship of the Honorable Minister, the past Minister of Transportation, who has done excellently well.
Mm.
For the first time in my lifetime, I am seeing a Lagos to Ibadan rail line, and I tried it for myself, and I can say that that place is very functional. Same with the Abuja to Kaduna, Abuja to Kano, Warri to Isako rail line. Across the length and breadth of this country, I will not speak of the Lagos to Ibadan Expressway, the Enugu to Port Harcourt. We'll not talk of the just opened second Niger Bridge. I am seeing several works going on under this administration. I can tell for a fact that the APC that administration is a party to vote for, including by the honourable member there, Mr. Tony Cole of River State. I would implore all well-meaning Rivers indigenes to please give this man a chance, who has contributed no benefit to the oil and gas sector of Nigeria. He has also helped in cushioning and providing jobs to Nigerians. Eminent Nigerians, qualified Nigerians.
All right, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, Sandra, good evening.
Good evening. Can you turn that radio off for me?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Sandra, you see, I don't really know how to put this because I just want to mind my words.
Okay.
Yes, the last speaker said we should vote for APC because they have done well infrastructurally with the commissioning of second Niger Bridge and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So are you telling me that APC has spent 8 years, almost 8 years, building second Niger Bridge and Ibadan Express or whatever? Do you know the level of suffering in this? If it were to be a sane society, APC will not win any councilorship as a slot in this country. They have done damages. A lot of damages have been done to this country, which I don't know when will come back.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Now, of course, the person I have in the studio is running to be governor, not president of the country. But I wonder if you have thoughts on some of the sentiments that you've just heard.
I actually do. And it's a beautiful thing about politics. It's very passionate. People really wear their hearts on their sleeve. But when I hear this, I remember 8 years ago, the venom in which people went against Jonathan Goodluck and PDP. And today I hear the same sentiments in APC. So this should tell people something, first of all, that if you felt exactly the same way about PDP 8 years ago, and now you're seeing exactly the same thing, just shifting APC to PDP, exactly the same, then it must tell us that we have to look a bit deeper and make more conscious decisions beyond just anything but Goodluck, which was the argument then, and today's anything but APC. We need to ask a bit more. And this goes to then questioning the character of the people that you're voting for, what they have brought onto the table, what have they done in the past, why are they coming into politics. It goes beyond APC and PDP. If all you're looking at is that I must vote APC or vote PDP, I think you're getting it wrong. If all you're looking at is I must vote Christian or Muslim, I must vote North or South, then we have gone totally wrong. After 22 years or 24 years now that we're in of this government, this new dispensation of politics, our question must be different. Our political questions have to be different. And we're not, I'm not sure we're yet asking the right questions. We need to start asking the right questions.
What do you think the right questions should be?
So first and foremost, the people who are coming, where are they coming from? What's their background? It's a character issue. If you have people who you are questioning their character, you're questioning their school fees, schools, you're questioning their background, you're questioning who they come from, where they come from, who they are, and all that, then you have an issue, first of all, if you're starting with that. Then next, you move to, you're questioning who, where did this person show up from? How did they get into politics? And you know, there are serious questions. So we need to ask that. What have we done before? What background do you have? What can you show that you have? How much of a care for people do you have? These are political questions. Why have you come into politics in the first place? Are you there to make money or are you there to provide solutions?
Now, this is a question I asked you the last time you were here, because like I said, the last time you were here, you're a successful businessman. Why are you playing in the waters of politics now?
Mm-hmm. And I explained then, which anyone who has ever done business in Nigeria will know, politics affects everything we do. You know, we went into business with the belief back then that let's take destiny into our hands. Politics is dirty. We don't need to get in there. Let's move away and just focus on business. And guess what? We built tremendous businesses. Every bank that you see today that is standing out there is a product of that. Let us go and do business. Insurance companies, product of that. Oil and gas companies, product of that. Telecom companies, product of that. Whatever. The business sector in Nigeria is a product of people getting up and saying that, you know what? Politics is dirty. Let us go and... But ask every successful businessman. Ask any anyone, call Aliko Dangote, call Herbert Wigwe, call anyone into the studio and ask them how much has politics affected their business, and you will see it's been tremendous. Now, you can no longer ignore it. And so for us to ensure that we have a country that understands what it means to create the opportunities that allows normal people to be talented people to express their talent without having to know who is in government, that's why we're there. We must change the dynamics of politics and we must change it positively.
Why do you think people are not asking the right questions?
Because they're... First of all, we're a young democracy. Okay, we're very, very young as a democracy. And so we're learning as we move along the way. And where you have hunger and you have poverty at the scale that we have it, then what people are interested in right now is just how can they feed? How can they just get up and survive today? If that's what you're worried about, then the questions as to what is this person going to bring over a long term, 20 years, 15 years, what policies are they going to bring will be secondary to you. What is important right now is, can this man give me food to eat? So a bag of rice will solve that problem. And so they will vote for that bag of rice. They will vote for the 5,000 naira, for the 10,000 naira. But the good thing is that there are people like you and I. There is a smaller group of people who are not hungry, who should be asking the question and probing that question. That's our responsibility, to probe the question, to probe those who have come out into politics and probe them hard. Probe them hard. And so we must do that, because when we have the opportunity to probe, to question, to sit down at panels, to answer questions, then those people who might just be hungry today might sit down and think and say, hey, but not true. This question that they've just asked, why can he not answer it?
Okay, if you just tuned in Lagos, you're listening to Tonye Cole. Tonye Cole is the River State APC governorship candidate. The last time he was here, he talked to us about some of his plans. Today, he's here to remind you that he's back on the ballot as a result of his appeal court victory, putting all the APC candidates back on the ballot in River State. So if you are from River State and you're, well, interested in who's going to be your next governor, Tonye Cole is here to take on all of your questions and try as much as possible to answer them. You know, before we went to the phone lines, we talked a bit about the flooding, and I want to come back to that. The flood in River State exposed gaps in state government plans for rapid response, for instance. I know that you talked about the fact that this is perennial, this is going to happen anyway, so we have to have all these measures in place to prevent people from getting displaced or being terribly affected by the flood. But I also want us to talk about the plans for the some of the gaps that currently exist for rapid response, evacuation, flood mitigation, care for the displaced persons, because I want to assume that a lot of the preventive measures you talked about will not happen in the course of a year, may not be completed before the next flooding happens. So what would you do differently as governor to improve government's capacity to handle this?
That's a great question, Sandra. So the first aspect of it, when you think about why do we lack all of this? what's the fundamental reason why there is a lack of response, you can put your finger down to a lack of care. A lack where we tend to see a government that does not care about people and does not care about the suffering of people. And so you need to put people first and put them inside the frame of whatever you're going to do. When you do that, then it becomes easy for you to begin to think about, how can I prevent further suffering of someone? If you know a flood is going to come, and the person's farmland is within an area where they're going to flood, and you know that when that flood comes, what they will lose is their crop, first of all. So their sense of livelihood is gone, wiped off first. Then the first thing you need to do is begin to provide either cash that would help them go back, or you provide a store for grains and food that they can. So you must provide that. So that conditional cash that is for rapid response, for just keeping people from falling into poverty, is something you must begin to build. So that's something we will do. Silos. Food. How do I take your crop? Collect it now, because I know that there is a flood that is going to come. You're going to lose your sense of livelihood. So pack it. When you're going to feed, how are you going to feed? Not just eat for that day, but are you going to be able to replant? They're going back. Now the flood has receded. People have gone back into the farm. How are they farming? Where are they getting the seed that they're going to need to go back into farm? Government's not providing that. And these are things that we must think about. If you don't have the people at the center of your thought, then you have a problem. You're going to have diseases that will come. Mosquitoes, malaria, all of those things that are going to come as a result of the flood water and all. Who is dealing with that? So these are long, you've talked about the longer term, I talked about the longer term issues, solutions, but there are immediate solutions which you pointed at. And those immediate solutions can be dealt with immediate short term measures. And we know what to do.
Okay, we know what to do. Speaking of knowing what to do, I want to talk about Executive Orders 21 and 22.
The great orders.
Signed by Governor Wike a couple of months ago. Lagos, Executive Order 21 bans campaign rallies in public schools in Rivers State, and it requires government approval for any public rally with a non-refundable payment of 5 million naira. And Executive Order 22 bans the opening of campaign offices in residential areas. Your party opposed both orders and actually sued the state government. But today your party has withdrawn the suit for what it calls strategic reasons. What are those reasons?
I'll leave the reasons of why it's been withdrawn out of the picture.
Okay.
But let me go to the you know, there's a meanness to certain things when you deny people their voice. And what that leads to often, and this is what we've been struggling with, is the violence that comes with restraining people and just putting them in a place where they know that injustice is being done. Executive Order 21 and 22 are unjust in every way. The first aspect of it is that you're a sitting governor. I must come to you as an opposition to get permission from you to come out and campaign against you, or naturally, we're not going to get the result of that. So the first aspect of it was, how do we silence? So for the Executive Order 21, how do we silence the voice of the opposition in the state so that the people will not hear what they have to bring onto the table? It brought out a lot of bitterness in people, and we literally had to stop people from going violent on it. Just saying, you know what, let's not fall into that trap that River State is always seen as a violent state. Just let's bear it. God knows we'll get out of this one. Then you bring Executive Order 22, which I'm an architect. For the last, 30, 40 years, there has been no demarcation as to where is residential, where is commercial. In Nigeria, it's a problem. Everywhere has become commercial. Then you now say, you have offices in your own campaign office on the same street that I have my campaign office. And then you get up and say that we cannot have campaign offices in residential areas. You know, it just smacks of wickedness.
What's your personal view of those two orders? Do you believe they're illegal? And if you believe they're illegal, why aren't you guys, the APC that is, challenging it in court?
So, and this is where you draw a fine line a governor has a right to give an executive order. So you can't call it an illegal order,
right,
but it's an unjust order. Okay, so the fact that I have the right to do so, but I'm doing it trampling on the rights of people, you know, it's just the injustice, the insolence, the impunity of it is just, it smacks of wickedness.
Right.
But beyond that, what it told me as a person, politician going into business, was that the opposition was afraid. And I kept asking, what are they afraid of? Why are you afraid? If it's an open contest, come out. You have a candidate, okay, yeah, he's wanted by the EFCC, he's in hiding and all of that, but if he's good enough, then he should come out, let's stand up, and let's just debate. You have an idea, I have an idea. Maybe your idea is better than mine, people will vote for you. If my idea is better than yours, then they will vote for me. If they prefer me to you, then so be it. We shake hands and we move on. 4 years later, you can come back and try. But why must you restrict us, put us in the corner, make sure that we are not seen because your candidate is not seen? Come on now. We don't need that.
Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. What questions do you have for Tonye Cole? Tonye Cole is the APC Guba candidate for River State. He wants to be governor of River State after Nyesu Mwike. What questions do you have? Emphasis on questions. Do you have about his quest to occupy the brick house and his plans for River's people? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. I've got Sobere on the line. Hi, Sobere. Good to have you on the show.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. Where are you joining us from?
I'm calling from London. So I want to say, send my greetings to Dr. Tonye Cole.
Okay.
It's very nice to hear your voice once again, Honorable Tonye Cole.
Thank you, Sobere.
I wish you all the best in the elections come March 2023. But there is this perception by people, especially those outside of River State, that Governor Wike has changed River State to, to Paris or Dubai with flyovers, all of these, you know. However, when I speak to my relatives back home, my sisters, brothers, they are like, those are mere media hype because roads are still impassable. My local government area has no hospital where my sick grandmother can go and receive treatment. How would you deal with this media hype that the government of River State is using to blindfold Nigerians, especially those that are not on ground? Thank you,
Sobere, and thank you for keeping the question short.
Thank you, Sobere. Again, a great question. And the good thing is that the election in River State is about River State, and it's for River State people who are in River State to vote, and they know the truth. If River State was only Obiakpo, where 10 of the 12 bridges, flyovers, were built, where the law school is built, where everything is done inside one local government. If that was all that was voting for River State, then the next governor is a shoo-in. They will be very happy because all the development was there. But one out of 23 local governments, all the other local governments have suffered dearly. And the good thing is that they see it. So I've seen, you've talked about a hospital. There are many places in River State that have no presence of government. They've never seen a policeman. They've never seen a magistrate, not to talk of a doctor. Forget it. There are zones on their own where militia run the thing. They run all sorts of governments there. And these are places that need to see government's presence. So River State election is going to be dealt with by people who are on the ground, who will see and vote for the change that they want to see. And that's what we bring. We're bringing hope to them. So thanks, Sobere, for that question.
All right, we've got questions on WhatsApp. Let's take a look at some of them. Madam Sandra, can your guest please explain the difference between the executive order in River State on campaigns from opposition parties in River State and the attempt of the APC-led government on trying to gag the media or trying to restrict the voice of the voiceless in Nigeria, especially when the news are not in their favor? Is there any difference? Femi from Dallas with that message there.
Femi, I don't know about the gagging or whether there's a difference. What I know is that I'm on the radio right now speaking. I know that you're on social media, and in Nigeria, the social media is not banned. I know that you can say anything you want about the president or whoever in Nigeria, and nobody's going to come and arrest you or gag you or throw you away. So I know that we have progressed a lot. I know people might still be uncomfortable with the news, but truly, if you really think about it, there is a lot of freedom in Nigeria about what you say, who you say, how you say it, and where you say it. We have a lot of freedom.
Well, Twitter was banned.
It was, but Twitter is there.
But it was banned.
Yeah, it was banned, but it's there. It came back.
But it was banned.
I agree it was banned. But I can't... What was it banned about? Do you remember?
Well, the ban was because the president's tweet was deleted.
Okay, so they banned it because the president's tweet was deleted. They didn't ban it because Nigerians said something about the president.
Well, no.
Okay, so that's the point. And after the unbanning, Nigerians are still saying a lot about the president. And they've not been arrested and thrown into jail or killed and hidden. So the truth of the matter is that, like I said, we're a young democracy, we're progressing, we're working, but I think it's a bit different. So to my friend in Dallas, I'm sure you can go onto the tweet right now and say something and no one will come after you.
All right, we've got a message here from Somaga. Somaga says, Twinkle's point strikes a chord. The character of who we vote and asking the right questions is where we've missed it all these years. I hope, however, he knows that his brilliant points about character, past identity, etc., in many ways shades his own party's presidential candidate. I wish him very well. If I were in Rivers, he would have my vote. Okay. Somaga, thank you for your message. Do you want to respond to Somaga's message?
No. Somaga, well done.
Okay. We've got a message here from Patrick Nejigbo. Patrick says, good thing Mr. Cole talked about asking questions and answering them concerning grey areas for contestants, their programs, ability to carry them out. What's his thinking about his party's principal's candidate to show up to answer our questions?
Okay, so I think that's like the first question that I was asked if I was going to answer. And let me point out something that I believe that most Nigerians miss and we need to address moving forward. By the time you have candidates coming out, it's too late. Really, it's too late. You're, at that point, you have a choice of withholding your vote or choosing to vote for the least worst character that you have. And by then, it's late. And so one of the reasons why we are in politics is so that we can educate the general public that politics starts from as soon as this election is over, the next round, 4 years, begins immediately. It begins immediately. So please become a ward party card-carrying member of a party so that you can be a delegate. Because at the end of the day, think about it. Less than 3,000 delegates decided who will be an APC candidate, presidential candidate for 200 million people. Less than 1,000 people decided who will be the PDP candidate for 200 million people. And as for Labour, less than 50 people decided, or less than 100. I don't know. It was in the room. I saw the picture. So less than 100, less than 200 made a decision for who will be the presidential candidate for 200 million people for Labour. So that should tell you something to Nigerians, that the issue is not which is the best candidate. No, by then it's late. The issue is who are the delegates and how do they become delegates? And where were you when they were selecting them as delegates? So we need to restructure how politics is, and that's why we're there.
Your party's presidential candidate released his manifesto, and it has a section about the digital economy where your party wants to create 1 million tech jobs. If elected governor, what policies would you implement for plugging River State into the digital economy in general,
okay.
and then the Tinubu plan in particular.
Okay. So first and foremost, the digital technology and digital economy is something I believe in. When I was at NIPS, at the National Institute for Policy and Strategic Studies, my project, my individual research project, was on digital economy. I looked at that policy. Why? Because I wanted to understand what is the next big thing that can help Nigeria leapfrog into the next generation. And digital economy is where it is. So I'm a firm believer in digital economy, and it's something I believe that River State needs. Why? Because one of the alternatives that we need to bring in River State is an alternative to oil in our thinking. The mindset of every Rivers man is an entitled mindset to oil. And I'm okay with the fact that oil is in our background and it must do much more for us than it has, and all the stories, derivation and all that. I have no problem with that. But I know that we can be much more. And if there's something that will do that, is digital economy. But what do you need to do that? You need infrastructure. So you need fiber optics, you need 5G technology, you need all of those things. But what does it do when you put it in place? It opens up a large scope of things, opportunities that people can do, young people can do, without having to know the government. They don't ever. And this is my dream, that you do not have to know the direction to your local government chairman's house before you can eat in university. You don't need to know the governor or your commissioner for what? Why? Before you can set up your own business and survive. That's where we need to get to. And digital economy will take us there.
Okay. Lagos, let me take a few more of your thoughts. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. But of course, before I come to you, I have to ask, do you think that there's a role for government when it comes to changing that oil-obsessed mindset that you talked about? Because I grew up in River State, and I know what it's like in River State, you know, when it comes to the oil.
Yes, there's a big role. You know, Nigerian government, first of all, has seen the devastation today of a Ukrainian war that should have become a boom to Nigeria. But it's not a boom. It's almost a bust for us. Because all the oil that we are struggling to produce, why? Because there are more independent bunkers of Nigerian oil than, it's almost at par. If Nigeria as a state exports 1 million barrels, those who are illegal exporters are doing 1 million barrels. So who really owns the country? So there is a clear need for us as a government to take a focus on how we deal with oil and the story around oil, especially in the Niger Delta. And I don't think it's the Nigerian government that can do it. The Nigerian government is lost when it comes to this. It requires us as Rivers people, as Niger Delta people, as the government in the Niger Delta, and the people to sit down and look at what it's doing. There's an old saying, don't fight a war in your background. We're fighting a war in our background. The war is destroying our ecology. It's destroying everything about us. And this is oil, and it's destroying us. So who benefits in the long run? It's not us. So we need to sit down as a people and decide that oil is in our ground, oil can be exploited, oil can go out. We have no problem with all of those things, but it must not destroy us.
How would you influence that as governor?
Okay, so there are old women that no longer can get a sum. There are old women who cannot go out. When they go out to the creeks, what they used to bring out to feed on before, it can take, what they used to bring in one day can take them a week to get it.
Hmm.
They are feeling it. You know, there's a feeling. There's something that you can see. If 20 years ago, you had no idea that going to picket or going to bust a pipeline in Jones Creek was going to affect anybody. It was just one little wellhead somewhere, and it wasn't going to make a difference 20 years ago. Today, you can see it everywhere. It's real. You know, people don't understand the emotion of the Niger Delta till you go, please take a helicopter and just go and take a look. It's real. So we feel it. We know it. So sitting down and having this conversation is not a difficult conversation to have amongst ourselves. If somebody comes from the outside to have that conversation, you are resentful. You are resentful. You feel that they are accusing you.
But it is a conversation that has been had over and over.
By
over.
Who?
by successive, I want to say, administrations with stakeholders in River State. Are you saying it's never been had by a former governor of River State or the people of River State?
No, because I haven't seen, so let me not say a categorical no,
okay.
But I think that there are two things that you have to do. The first aspect of it is, if you are telling people that this is what we are seeing as a problem, what's the solution? If you don't offer people something, an alternative,
what's your solution?
So that's where I go into the digital economy. That's where I go with creating something else that they know their talent can come alive with. If I can sit down, which I know you know very well, if I can sit down in River State and I'm earning foreign exchange, doing work in Korea, Japan, New York, and have not left Sagbama, that's good enough. Then I know I do not have to go into the forest and go and get a pipeline to make one naira. If I can do that and you can show me how to do it, and guess what? It's so possible today. It's possible. We look around Lagos. There used to be a time, Ijibu and all of that, they used to bust pipelines here. There are massive fires in Lagos. Today, you hardly see that. You hardly see it. Why? Because people are realizing that they don't need to go into this dangerous thing of scooping petrol for them to survive.
I have to ask you. So you mentioned the war at home. You know, you talked about fighting a war at home. You talked about the ecological disaster. Part of the reason why I left River State was the suit.
Exactly.
And there are lots of people like me who left River State because of the suit. We talk about oil fire, illegal artisanal refining. We know the impact that it's having. But government seems unable or unwilling to bring an end to it, in part because of all the vested interests and public acceptance of it. What would you do differently about Ufaya, for instance?
So, again, it comes back to the first aspect of it. There's an education that has to go with Ufaya. You know, when you talk of black suit, people don't see the impact. You see it, but you don't see the impact to you in your health till 20 years later, when your children and yourself start having respiratory issues. And it's a slow death. It's just one slow death, which means that we must be able to educate people about this is the problem. The good thing is that we have the history now. You have 20 years, you've seen it, there is data to it, so people can see it. So there's an education that must be done. So the first aspect of it is that we're going to painstakingly educate people as to the dangers of what they're seeing. We're educating somebody who is hungry. You see, we must understand that there's a poverty issue at stake. There's an unemployment issue at stake. There's an issue where people have been deliberately left out of schools. Deliberately, the education system has been collapsed in certain areas in River State. These are deliberate issues, and we must deal with that aspect of it. So hand in hand, as you're telling somebody that this is going to cost blah, 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 and so on and so forth, the man is looking at you and saying, but this is the only way I eat today. Now, you must be able to substitute that for something. Now, in the first instance, you may substitute it for money. That's what the federal government tried to do with amnesty. But it's a short-term thing. If you start giving people money, they sit at home, they're folding their hands, and they're just expecting money. They must be able to work. We must be able to make sure that that substitution is in something that brings labor to them, for them to be able to feed and live off. It's a long-term work, but it's a work that is necessary. We cannot, Sandra, we cannot close our eyes to this. We can't.
Okay. I think we just addressed that question. Bao from Ikorodu has the same question about soot and the environmental cleanup and gas flaring, etc., etc. We've got Max from Ikeja who says, what are your three critical areas that you would tackle immediately if you get in as governor? So that's his first question. He has a number of other questions, but let's start with that first one.
Was that Max?
Yes, Max.
Max, okay. Max, first and foremost, if based on everything that I've said, you will know that one of the things that really concerns me is social welfare, which basically is, how do you make sure that a man can eat today? Just provide food today. It's only when you're able to do that that you can start talking to them about tomorrow. If not, you're just wasting your time. And I learned this the hard way on the campaign ground 4 years ago. You must be able to answer the immediate need today. That's number one. That then brings hope. So social welfare is one of the foundational pillars of this government, the government that I want to bring. The second thing which we haven't talked about today, but it's there, or maybe we talked about in the executive orders and all of that, is the impunity that comes with law and order. If you do not have security, law and order, forget it. Businesses get up and they leave River State per second because they do not have confidence that they can go to court. They don't have confidence that their CFO will not be revoked. They don't have confidence that they will build a structure that somebody, a governor will not come and collapse because somebody had a meeting inside the office. You know, there are so many things like that. Businesses need to know that there's a stability in the judiciary, peace and security. That, for me, is critical. As a businessman, we must do it. So social welfare, peace and security as a pillar, law and order, second pillar. But the third one, which then goes to why we talked about digital economy and all of that, is infrastructural development, developmental infrastructure. Not infrastructure development, but developmental infrastructure. And what's the difference? This is any kind of infrastructure that will encourage development, whether it's digital, whether it's infrastructure, fiber optics, whether it's on new cities that have to be built, which must be built. River State cannot be one city, only Port Harcourt. No way. No way. So we must build other cities. So any kind of infrastructure that will encourage development, we must be able to do it. So those for me are the three things. In the center of all of this are the people. Anything that we're doing that is not people-centered, people-focused, forget it. It's a waste of time.
All right. Let's come to the phone lines now. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, good evening. Would you permit my being anonymous?
That's fine. Welcome.
I like your voice. I wish you were not anonymous.
Good evening. Welcome.
I am a veteran comrade.
Okay.
Tony Cole, congrats for winning the court case.
Thank you.
Yeah. I am moved. I don't like calling in, but I am moved to call in. You said something about the concentration of development in rivers.
Yes.
Law school, so now. It's not, I am not supporting any party.
Yes.
But I think I will want your kind of person to come to replace Wike. But I love Wike for one thing, the fight against domination of the Northerners. We have to just... expected him to spread all the developments in River. That's what is expected in Nigeria.
Yes.
You don't cite one Lagos Ibadan Road. I'm calling from Redemption Camp. Lagos Ibadan Road promised 2-3 years, took 8 years. Look at all the vital positions in Nigeria is to the Northerners. If we want this country, same thing. I think that is what Wike adopted, which is not proper. Now, somebody like me that have worked, was a veteran with the defunct Daily Times of Nigeria. Now...
That means you know my father very well.
Who is your father?
Patrick Dedeko. He was the MD of Daily
Times. Oh, my God! You should know fine country.
I do.
The editor of our Weekend. Yes. Is late now.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my... It's like that... I'm short of words.
Don't worry. Family reunion. Please continue.
But right now, you see, what I'm talking about, if things are distributed evenly, hospital here and there, somebody like me now, I have no pension as a result of defunct Daily Times. Now, I am, as I'm talking to you, for the past 2 years, to go and do my right as scan, I don't have that money. My wife is from your place. My mom is from Rivers. So, there's no way. If the country is well organized, the way one is partially crippled here now wouldn't be there. Right. So when you get there, please spread the whole amenities.
Okay, sir. All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, we've got other messages here. You're so different from most candidates from your party, having followed your 20-year plan. Good luck to you. That's a message from Max.
Thank you, Max.
Here is a message that says... you're complaining about Wike's 21 orders as intimidating, but in Lagos, there are no other banners than APC. This message says, I'm not from River State, I'm not APC, but Tony Cole is a man that I love so much for his intelligence and political sophistication. This is one of the men we need in the corridors of power. Unfortunately, Nigerians don't always want good men to be their leaders. You can imagine where they celebrate Wike as the best governor in Nigeria just for concentrating development in his village. I don't know who will deliver us from this political quandary. All right, Chimbike from Aja with that message there. Here's a message from Kenny in Akute. Kenny says, your guest did not answer the question of the presidential candidate of his party not making himself available for questioning by Nigerians. Okay. Bioye Nyaba says, I just Googled you and I see you went to KC. The state of that school is disturbing and very sad. I'm pretty sure you are a pastor. Do you preach about politics? And what would you do to curb corruption?
Okay. So, yes, I'm a pastor. And what would I do to curb corruption? And King's College, and, you know. So, first and foremost, almost every institution that you have in Nigeria is a reflection of the nation that we have. And it's a reflection of the kind of leadership that we have had over the years, of which corruption becomes a major issue. Now, I was part of something called Pact Against Corruption Initiative. So you Googled it. So Google that as well, please. It's called PACI, P-A-C-I, of the World Economic Forum. And as a Nigerian company, to get in there was tough because as far as we were concerned, anybody who is Nigerian, you carry the toga of corruption. So business anywhere in the world is tough as a Nigerian. So we faced corruption. We faced the whole gamut of being labeled corrupt even before you started. Now I've gone into politics, so that makes it even worse because as far as I'm concerned, every politician is corrupt. But then, where do I bring all of this to a head? The mere fact is that in Patchy, one of the things that we saw was that war against corruption anywhere in the world was a losing battle. You don't lose it if you go as a war. You win it when you go with the intelligence of designing corruption out of any system. And this is what we're going to do. So how do you design corruption out of any system? First of all, wherever there are hurdles, remove the hurdles. Wherever you have to create cash to be paid and exchange from one place to another, remove the cash. There are little things. So customs in Chile was an example. And they made sure that they shone the light on import duties so that anybody who was importing anything knew exactly how much they were going to pay. And they put it out there in public, pasted in the newspapers everywhere, so that when you're bringing in a telephone, you know that you're going to pay 10 naira for that telephone. No customs logbook and all of that. And then they made sure that you paid it into an account so that you don't have to take the 10 naira to go and see one customs officer who will tell you that you should pay 20 naira instead of 10. And guess what? Corruption, Chile customs died overnight. There are solutions to this thing. It's not rocket science. And guess what? We'll implement it. So I am a very, very strong advocate of designing corruption out of any system. Business people are the implementers of every policy, which means that a businessman knows exactly where the hurdles are. They know where the corruption points are, and they know how to design it out. That's one of the things I bring. I know how to design corruption out of a system.
Lagos, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I've got the governorship candidate of the APC in River State on the show with me. His name is Tony Cole, and he has just been reinstated on the ballot on Election Day through an appeal court victory. We've talked about that. We've talked about his plans for River State. We're taking your questions as well. Now, I have one more question. Well, several questions, but one first. I want to talk about the wider economy, right? So according to the NBS, River State unemployment rate in 2020 was 41.6%. Sure. Underemployment was 17.6%. So 59% of your state's workforce that wants to work isn't fully employed. What do you believe are the key factors driving unemployment in River State? How do you hope to tackle them?
Okay, so three things. So the first, out of security and fear and all sorts of things, businesses left. So employers of labor and people who can create employment outside of government left. Major issue. So we need to solve that problem by attracting businesses that have left River State back to River State. That's number one. Number two, as they left, the only thing that became the major employer of any kind of livelihood, no, major supplier of livelihood became the government. So if you didn't know the governor, you didn't know the commissioner and all that, you just could not survive in River State. And that became a problem. So everybody just sees politics and government as the quickest way to making money. So you don't work. That's number two. So we have to reverse that. That's the second thing that we must reverse. Then the third thing that becomes a problem is that you cannot attract new businesses. So you had the businesses that were there that left. Now foreign investors and all of that don't come. So you don't have five-star hotels. You don't have entertainment spots. You cannot hold a live. Burnaboy is one of the biggest artists in the world today. Burnaboy cannot come and do a first-class, world-class concert in River State. No facilities, no ability, nothing to do that within the state. So even attracting new businesses in becomes a problem. So for me, as a governor, those are three things that we must address first of all. Stop businesses from leaving. Attract the ones who have left from coming back. Make government less of the central control of how patronage and business and money is made. And for goodness sake, make River State attractive to investors coming in.
How?
I just said it. So, build facilities. For example, entertainment is one of the biggest things that we have. Radios, it used to be in River State, for goodness sake. You know the space. You come into Lagos and you have such a huge market, but nothing stops River State from providing that same market across the whole Southeast and South-South. So, we have a market, but we're not pushing that market and we're not capturing it. So, we must make sure we capture it. So, for me, I must encourage businesses that are willing to stretch themselves by allowing them to do it. Not by River State and Task Force. Oh my goodness, you open a business, every task force under the sun comes after you. Local government task force, this task force, and, you know, for goodness sake.
So you're going to get rid of that?
No, we're definitely going to make sure that businesses are comfortable. I don't want you harassed. Don't come and harass you and harass your business such that you cannot even begin to breathe.
So you're not going to get rid of the task forces?
The task forces are not necessary.
Okay.
They're not.
Okay.
At the end of the day, what is necessary at the end of the day is to make sure that, one, your reporting standards are clear. I don't need to bully you for you to be able to report. I don't. If I encourage you and I give you the ability, if I scratch your back, scratch my back, what does this mean? If I ensure that you as a business, you thrive in my state, then I expect that you should be able to make the state comfortable for me. I remember back in the day here, when security was an issue in Lagos State, what did they do here? They called all the businesses together. The governor at the time, I can't remember which governor it was, either Fashola, I believe it was Fashola, called all the businesses together and said, look, security is important for you. If we don't have security in Lagos, you will not be able to do business.
All right, let's leave it at that. Unfortunately, we're out of time. It flies by when you're having a great time. I have had Tony Cole in the studio with me. He's the APC governorship candidate for River State. Good luck with your campaign.
Thank you,
Sandra. And if there's more stuff, come back and talk to us about it.
I will.
Lagos will take a break. We'll bring you the news. And then we'll have Dr. Avon in the studio.